Chastity sounds like an old-fashioned word, but it's been in the news a lot recently in connection with both the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church and the abstinence-only movement in schools. But according to our linguist Jeff Nunberg, the word doesn't mean what it used to.
These are hard times for chastity. As the Pope said, the life of chastity confutes the conventional wisdom of the world. And Eugene Clark, the rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral, pointed to the difficulties that priests have in maintaining their vows in a sex-saturated society where Americans are bombarded by images of liberated sex all day long. But chastity was problematic for both the church and society at large well before Hugh Hefner and Larry Flynt filed their first business plans. You can see that in the declining use of the words chaste and chastity themselves. In modern times, those words tend to be used chiefly in a metaphorical way. You see a lot more references to chaste architecture or a chaste prose style than to chaste men and women. That decline in the fortunes of chaste and chastity is understandable enough. We moderns are uncomfortable about using words that associate sexual continence with spiritual purity. We've lost sight of the connection that used to be implicit in words like chasten and chastise, which originally had the senses make chaste or purify. For that matter, the word castrate is taken from the same Latin root. It's just a more draconian way of getting at the same end. Not surprisingly, the eclipse of chastity has led to a certain fuzziness about the original meaning of the word. It's true that chastity has always involved abstaining from illicit sex. But chastity wasn't the same thing as virginity. You could become chaste even if you'd already had sexual experience. As St. Augustine put it in a famous prayer, "Lord, give me chastity and continence, but not now." For that matter, chastity didn't necessarily rule out sex within marriage, so long as it was free of prurience or concupiscence. By the 18th century, though, chastity was regarded as a minor virtue, and one associated chiefly with women, as the secular double standard came into its own. Samuel Johnson wrote dismissively of one vain, insipid country wife that she had no virtue but chastity. And over the last 100 years, people have pretty much bailed out on using the word chaste to describe sexual continence. Instead, they've appropriated the word celibate, which originally meant only unmarried. But some people have been trying to revive the word chastity. On the web, it comes up a lot in the sites for organizations promoting sexual abstinence. That movement's on a roll right now. Just last week, in fact, a House committee authorized an additional $50 million for abstinence-only sex education. This in addition to the $500 million in state and federal funds that the programs have already received. The programs encourage teens to swear off sex until marriage and provide no information about birth control, abortion, or gay and lesbian sex on the grounds that that might put ideas into adolescents' heads. The sites of the abstinence-only groups warn adolescents about the dangers of condoms and offer them suggestions as to how to restrain their sexual urges. One of them provides helpful links to the Amazon pages where they can order Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit. But trying to resuscitate an unfashionable word is a little like trying to revive an old folk dance or costume. People always get the details wrong. The abstinence-only movement tends to talk about chastity as if it were merely the spiritual concomitant of virginity. And they often talk about the loss of chastity as an irrevocable step. As one group puts it, chastity is a lifestyle. One date may be too late. But the abstinence-only organizations aren't the only ones who are contributing to the comeback of the word chastity. There's an odd mirror of their preoccupations in the websites put up by people who are into chastity as a source of sexual stimulation by means of devices that prevent any kind of sexual activity until the wearer is released by the keyholder. For women, the sites offer new variations on the chastity belt, which, by the way, was actually invented during the Italian Renaissance, not the Crusades, and which is probably very rarely used until its rediscovery by modern fetishists. For men, there are a variety of cuffs, sheaths, and cages that achieve an analogous effect by what appear to be calculatedly uncomfortable means. Curiously, enthusiasts like to use the word chastisement to describe the process of putting your associate into one of these contrivances. It isn't the normal use of the word, but it does have etymology on its side. Still, the chastisement sites do capture something of the old sense of chastity as an austere spiritual practice. And unlike the abstinence-only movement, they have something else in common with the church. they don't pretend that chastity is a vocation with universal appeal.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University and the author of The Way We Talk Now.